జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అశోత్ర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామికి, మాయపూర్ ధామికి, మధురవరి ధామికి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి, ద్వారకావరి ధామికి, గంగమాయికి, హిమలమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గురంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలేశ్వరి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశాది వేషధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహరహితాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమల్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతస్ చార్తేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరాద్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదయాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారివృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణాద్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం హానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదం తమోంధం సంసారిణం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృతానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం కనికాభి కాభి కాభి. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ హిరి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాలయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വീണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതം പുരതോമമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. In the Bhagavatam, last Sunday we saw that the Kavi, Hari, Andarikshan, Prabodhan, the four Navayogis, the four of the Navayogis, they have discussed various topics with King Nimi. Kavi discussed about Bhagavata Dharma, and Hari discussed about the symptoms of a devotee, and Andariksha discussed about Maya, and Prabuddha discussed about how to overcome Maya. This is what we have seen so far. So in the last discussion between Prabuddha and King Nimi, the issue came up that to cross over Maya, Prabuddha has spoken. Prabuddha means one who has woken up from Maya. That's the word meaning itself. The name itself is given like that. One who has woken up from Maya, he is called Prabuddha. So how to cross over Maya, that was spoken by Prabuddha. So Prabuddha mentioned there that he talked about various qualifications of a devotee. How a devotee deals in this world. How a devotee acts in this world. That's what was mentioned. In the verse 29, if you look in the third chapter, verse 29, you mention, evam krishnalpanadheshu manusheshu ja saukhridam. That is the qualifications of a devotee. Evam krishnalpanadheshu manusheshu ja saukhridam paricharyam chobhayatra mahalsu nushu sadhushu. That krishnalpanadheshu, in all circumstances, Krishna protects me. The devotee thinks like that, under all circumstances. Krishna will protect me. Manusheshu cha sauhridam. And also friendship with those who are actually Krishna's devotees. This is another qualification of a devotee. Parijaryam chobhayatra mahalsu nushu sadhushu. He will like to serve those devotees and great mahatmas, great sages or great souls in order to please them. By offering services to them, he is actually pleasing Krishna. What else he does? Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavadyasha mithoradhirmidastushtir nivirtirmithamalpana. That is an important verse. Parasparanukathanam. They have only one subject to talk to each other. That is about Krishna. Krishna is not a topic you can discuss and finish in 15 minutes time. Krishna is, just to say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is one of the topics related to Krishna. But Krishna is a subject, if you discuss through Bhagavatam, it is endless, a topic that can be discussed forever. That is how Bhagavatam presents Krishna. That is why it said like that, parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashal mithoradhirmidastushtir nivartirmithamalmanaham. Parasparanukathanam, it is a topic for discussion forever between Krishna's devotees. And accordingly, as much as the desire for discussion about Krishna increases, the desire for sense gratification goes away from a person. That is why it is said like that. Then, and just like a mirror, which has no dust on the mirror, it reflects the thing properly. Similarly, the living conditioned soul, jiva, also endeavors in this direction. When the devotion develops, he also starts seeing his true identity, what he is. This is the test of that purification process. As much as parasparanu kathanam goes on, mutual discussion goes on, pavanam bhagavad yashas, Krishna's glories, that is what will be discussed. Mitho radhir, mithas tushtir. By doing that, mutually they become satisfied. The soul rejoices in that. Then, so the mind, which is normally compared to a monkey, the mind which always drives everyone crazy in this world, that mind subsides. It goes away. It disappears when discussion about Krishna starts. So, smarandas marayandas cha mitho khaukaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyul pulagam thanim. What happens in that process is smarandas marayandas cha mitho akhaukaharam harim, that they remember Krishna and they make others also to remember about Krishna. Mitho akhaukaharam harim. What happens if you remember about Krishna? All your sinful reactions get wiped out immediately at that point. Actually, when these things are spoken, one should also remember who is Krishna. Krishna is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is also the super soul of every living entity. In every living entity, he is able to function because of Krishna's presence inside as the super soul. That's why it said, Mitho akha ogaharam harim. Bhaktiya sanjadeya bhaktiya. From bhakti comes bhakti, it says here. Bhaktiya sanjadeya bhaktiya. What does that mean? Bhaktiya sanjadeya bhaktiya means, when one starts Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, it is sadhana bhakti. He begins with sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, as it progresses, he becomes purified. As he gets purified, he starts seeing his real identity, what he is. And as soon as he realizes that his pure identity is spirit soul, he withdraws from all material activities and then pure devotion begins. This is that stage. Bhaktiya sanjadeya bhaktiya. From bhakti comes bhakti, Bhagavatam says. From bhakti comes bhakti. Bhakti begins with sadhana bhakti. Everybody begins with sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti continues for a long period of time. And when one executes sadhana bhakti properly over a long period of time, he comes to understand, he gets purified himself. Purification process is sadhana bhakti. So when he gets purified, chitta shuddhi, as it is called, chitta shuddhi, purification of one's own chittam or consciousness. When consciousness is purified, what happens to that person is, he realizes his identity. That identification with the body goes away. And when the identification with the body goes away, then he realizes his proper relationship with Krishna and he engages in pure Krishna consciousness. That is why it said, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya mito bhaktya vibratyat pulagam tanyam. It is at that time he gets his ecstasy. In that stage, when he is executing Krishna consciousness in his pure consciousness, at that time vibratyat pulagam tanyam. His body becomes full of ecstasy. Ecstatic feelings arises in his body. And then, in the next two verses, he says, what happens to such a person? Kujil tada chanjita kuchindaya kujil hasandi nundandi vadandya laugigaha nityandi kayandi anushila yandyajam bhavandi dushnim parametyanavradaha. That person who has got that pure Krishna consciousness, his activities are discussed in this verse. Kojil tadandi achyuta chindaya kojil hasandi. Sometimes he is thinking about Krishna and kojil hasandi, he laughs about the whole thing. Especially he is thinking, his mind is so absorbed in Krishna, he is seeing various activities Krishna has performed, particularly in relationship with his pastimes, childhood pastimes. Specifically childhood pastimes, how he engaged in different activities with Mother Yashoda and the gopis, the stealing the butter and breaking the pot, all such things. When he is thinking about that, he starts laughing. He is unable to control his own bliss, ecstasy. That ecstasy comes out in that way. Kochil hasandi, nandandi, vadandi, alogiyaham. And sometimes when he thinks about that, he feels ecstatic feelings, and also he starts dancing. Nrityandi, gayandi, anishilayandyajam bhavandi dushnim, paramitya nirvradaham. That thinking about Krishna's pastimes, he tends to imitate them sometimes. Because his ecstasy has gone so high, he's feeling so ecstatic that he acts sometimes trying to imitate Krishna. And sometimes he keeps quiet without saying anything. These are all very highly elevated devotees' activities, what is discussed in this verse. And then in the next verse, Idi Bhagavadan Dharman, Shikshan Bhaktya Taduthaya, Narayana Paromaya, Anjastaradi Dustaram. He concludes that, Prabuddha concludes his discussions at that point, saying that, Idi Bhagavadan Dharman, Shikshan Bhaktya Taduthaya. Like this, when one executes Bhagavad Dharmam for a long period of time, he becomes Narayana Para. Narayana Para means he becomes pure in his consciousness and he realizes his relationship with Krishna or Narayana. Such a person can cross over Maya. Maya, Anjastaradi, Dustaram. The Maya which is very difficult to cross over, that person can cross over that Maya very easily. It is the same thing what Bhagavad Gita has spoken. Devikhyasha Gunamai, Mama Maya, Durateya. Maam evayam prabhajyande maya medam tharanjide. Bhagavad Gita says like that. The same thing here. Prabhupada again brings this point very clearly that one who has become Narayana Para. Narayana Para means his absorption in Krishna is so high. He is so absorbed in Krishna that Maya cannot touch him again. Maya will not touch him again. So, what does Maya mean? Maya means actually that we are forced to surrender to birth and death, isn't it? When the living entity has to surrender to birth and death, he is under the clutches of Maya. When one is released from the clutches of Maya, he does not have to worry about anything. Then he is under Krishna's control. He gets released from Maya's control and he is under Krishna's control. And that is what when at the stage it's called Narayana Para. Narayana Paro Maya Anjastarati Dustaram. Iti Bhagavadan Dharman Shikshan Bhaktyata Duthaya Narayana Paro Maya Anjastarati Dustaram. It says about a Narayana Para. So, up to this point now, in the Srimad Bhagavadam, you have seen that Prabuddha spoke about, Hari spoke about the symptoms of a devotee. Prabuddha spoke about a devotee, how he can cross over Maya. If you compare Hari's and Prabuddha's teachings, they are very much similar. They are very much similar. Both essentially says that one should take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. Very, very seriously in life. This is the message from all these great sages. All these great sages. Now, when we are discussing this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, often people get a feeling that, is this all possible for me to do it? Will this all happen to me? I am here in my life struggling hard to survive, maintain this body and the life in this world. All these look somewhat from a different world, isn't it? Many people feel that they feel that, is this all practical? That Narayana Paro Maya Anjastarati Dustaram. So these thoughts will definitely come to a person who is reading these verses in the Bhagavadam. So the difficulty, the reason for that is that when we understand Srimad Bhagavadam, we should not try to understand Bhagavadam with intelligence. Neither by mind nor by intelligence. The way Bhagavadam works in a person is simply by hearing. If the mind is less complicated, less complex, and if the mind is open, then this message of Bhagavadam will strike that person very easily. Our main problem is we are too much on an intellectual level trying to analyze things. And because the intelligence and the mind is used to that process for a very long period of time, everything when it is fed into the person, immediately the intelligence starts analyzing it. And on an intellectual level, we try to understand. But that will not work here. Because it is not subject to intelligence. All these things are realizations of the sages. They have realized this, and the only way for us also to understand is by realizing it. There is no other way you can understand this. On an intellectual level, if you try to understand it, what will happen is, you may theoretically learn many things, but you will not practically experience that. That is why everything in these verses, what we are discussing now, and from now on also, further, in the next 4 or 5 stages, what they are talking about, all these things on an intellectual platform, you can never understand it, because it's beyond our capacity. It's all connected with the soul. It's all connected with the soul. And intelligences come from the soul. So intelligence cannot comprehend the soul. This is the understanding. The mind, the senses, the intelligence, they have come from the soul. It is by the presence of the soul they work. And because of that, they cannot comprehend the soul. And all these, what has been discussed here, is all activities of the soul. So because it is connected with the soul, better not to try to understand that by the process of intelligence or mental speculation or anything. All that you can do is the process of hearing, Shravanam. Shravanam is the process by which you realize these things, what the sages have spoken. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to clarify these things, in different instances, certain stories, certain episodes are mentioned, in the Bhagavatam particularly. If you look into the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, for example, 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, begins with the story of Priyavrata, isn't it? Begins with the story of Priyavrata. Priyavrata was a son of Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu had 2 sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapada. And he also had 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti. Akuti was married to Ruchi Prajapati. Kardama Prajapati married Devahuti Devi. And Uttanavada's son Dhruva Maharaj became, story was presented in the 4th canto, in the beginning. So Uttanavada's son Dhruva Maharaj's story was presented in the 4th canto in the beginning. So Vidura Maharshi went to see Maitreya Maharshi in Haridwar, and when the discussion started, although the lineage was spoken, beginning from Swayambhu Manu onwards, the whole family history was spoken, somehow or the other, Maitreya Maharshi did not give importance to Priyavrata and Uttanapada. Straight away he moved into Dhruva Maharaj's story. You can notice that in the Bhagavatam. In the 4th canto when it begins, first 6 chapters are referring to Dhruva Maharaj's story. After speaking about the family tree of Swayambhu Manu, straight away he jumps to Uttanapada's son's story, Dhruva Maharaj's story. The reason being that Maitreya Maharshi found the story of Dhruva Maharaj so important that he wanted to speak about that, and in long 6 chapters he discussed Dhruva Maharaj's story with Vidura. So after all these things were spoken, the 4th canto was spoken. When the 5th canto started, Parikshit Maharaj got very inquisitive. The reason being, Parikshit asked one question to Sukadeva Goswami. Why is that Priyavrata, who was actually the eldest son of Swayambhu Manu, was not at all discussed? He also became much more inquisitive to know that Priyavrata took initiation from Sri Narada Maharshi. Priyavrata took initiation from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi gave him the Upadesham or the initiation and gave him the Diksha and told him to go to Himalayas to practice spiritual life. Already he was a liberated soul, the eldest son of Swayambhu Manu. He was already a liberated soul. He was already had the best spiritual master, Sri Narada Maharshi himself. He got the initiation from Sri Narada Maharshi. He has taken sannyas or refrained from all spirit material life and went to Himalayas to perform penances. This Priyavrata, after going to Himalayas to perform penances, had to leave everything and come back here to material life again. This thing actually fascinated Parikshit. Parikshit was asking, how is that? How is that a personality who has given up everything in this world and he has gone to Himalayas to perform penances after fully realizing, because Prayabrata was a very, very advanced devotee, a soul, a great personality, that he has lost all interest in material life, family life, and running the planet, no interest in anything. Everything he gave it up and went to Himalayas to perform penances to go back, come back to Godhead. This was his plan. And why Prayabrata had to come back? This question was raised by Parikshit. And that you can see in the beginning of the fifth canto. If you study this Priyavrata story, you will get an answer to some important questions relating to cultivating Krishna consciousness. Priyavrata, what he did was, he gave up everything, went to the Himalayas, and then Swayambhu Manu wanted to retire from his worldly activities and he wanted to appoint Priyavrata as the next king. Priyavrata didn't agree. He wanted to walk out of this whole thing. So Swayambhu Manu insisted that Priyavrata must come back and run the planet. He wouldn't listen. He spoke to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi went to Lord Brahma and Brahmaji, Sri Narada Maharshi and Swayambhu Manu all came together to speak to Priyavrata. So, Priyavrata at that point was wondering what he should do. Because on the one hand, he had this strong desire to develop spiritually. That was his whole goal, because he's already a realized person. He is. He's already an advanced devotee. He had such strong realizations that he had no interest in material life. And here, Swayambhu Manu is trying to bring him back to run this world, this planet. That was the situation what he had to face. So there, what he said was that the life of Priyavrata is discussed in the Bhagavatam. It is discussed that he was in performing a Brahmasatram. Brahmasatram means, basically what it is that someone, say, had heard Srimad Bhagavatam, or someone has taken a vow or an initiation from a great soul, then he decides to keep his life completely centered around that principle. It can be in either many ways it can happen. For example, someone who has taken the knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and he decides to engage his time and energy only in Krishna consciousness. That person can do that in so many different ways, either through his own, the knowledge what he cultivates from Srimad Bhagavatam. The knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam has illuminated him that he is absorbed in that all the time, to absorb in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is one style. Another style is always to chant the holy name of Krishna and to feel totally absorbed in that, in purely in chanting the holy name. And there are so many other possibilities also. So, devotion, knowledge, chanting the holy name, they are all different ways of engaging oneself in Krishna service. Anyone's in Krishna service. So, somehow or the other, the mind gets totally absorbed in Krishna. That's the goal. That is bhakti. When the mind gets completely absorbed in Krishna, that is bhakti. So, in order to get that bhakti, all these different processes exist. So through all these processes, one has the opportunity to become a Brahma Karma Samadhina. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahma Adno, Brahma Nahudam, Brahma Iva, Tena Gandavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahma Karma Samadhi means this, that doing everything to please Krishna and nothing else in life except Krishna, to that kind of that realization, Brahma Karma Samadhina, purely absorbed in Krishna's, in the thoughts of Krishna. Purely absorbed in Krishna's thoughts. So, Brahma Karma Samadhina, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahma Agnum, Brahma Nahudam, Brahma Iva, Tena Gandavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. So, these are the processes by which one can completely absorb in Krishna's service, or Krishna's absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Now, if one can do that, Krishna is saying there that that karmam is not the whole way. Karmam is only a stepping stone to bhakti. Karmam is only a stepping stone to bhakti. But bhakti means total absorption of the mind in Krishna. That is bhakti. So, here a question will come that if that bhakti process, for example, let us take for puja. Puja means deity worship, worshipping the deity. When one is worshipping the deity, normally there are so many activities involved in that, physical activities, isn't it? For example, ringing the bell, offering the flowers, offering the incense, fanning the deity. So many processes are there, chanting the mantra. They are all parts of the process of worshipping the deity. All these are parts of worshipping the deity. We misunderstand that are these things bhakti? That question is there. Is these things questions means that it is bhakti. One is doing all these things. Is that bhakti? That question will come. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti means, for example, all these activities, if you arrange a robot to do it, it can also do that, isn't it? In fact, on the other hand, robot will do it better. Because in human nature, we can make mistakes, but if a robot is built, and if it is programmed properly, everything, ringing the bell, chanting the mantra, offering the flowers, this proper number of times to proper parts of the body, everything what can be done by us physically can be done by the robot also, isn't it? Will that become a puja then? No, it won't become a puja. It won't become a worship. Why? What is the reason for that? Because the robot does not have the bhavam in him. He does not have the consciousness. For example, a mother takes the child and puts him on her lap. Anybody can take a child and put the child on their lap. But when a mother takes a child and puts it on her lap, what happens? That affection from the mind flows to the child. That is the bhavam, or in other words, the mood of the mother. So similarly, in worship also, this is not these physical aspects of worship that matters. It is not the physical aspects of it that matters. It is the bhavam or the mood of the person, and that is bhakti. That is what is bhakti means. All the other things are karmam. They are karmam. And karmam is jadam. Karmam is jadam. Karmam on its own cannot bring anything. When bhakti is supplemented with karmam, that karmam will become karma yogam, and in turn it develops into bhakti. So, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. Bhakti means that one is able to do these things in such a way that his mind is absorbed in that. If the mind is not absorbed, you may do this for many, many years, but it will not have any impact on you. The way to change the consciousness is that the mood to build up first. So, here, important point comes that Brahma says to Priyavrata in the beginning of this fifth canto, some of these topics. He discusses it very clearly. He says to him, Brahma says to him, that first of all, try to understand this Priyavrata. He says to him, what is he has to understand? He says to him, that simply by engaging in karmam, one does not get released oneself from the cycle of birth and death. Simply by engaging in karmam, one does not get released. What actually changes a person is bhakti. Bhakti, when bhakti develops in the heart of a person, he can understand that his connection with Krishna is established, and therefore that becomes important for him. Now, there are two things here. One thing is that there is always a contradiction here, will come in mind. The contradiction is this. We ask this question often, what is important? Is fate or destiny is important, or one's self-effort is important? Isn't it? We all ask this question. sometime or the other, everybody will ask in one's own life this question, what is more important? For example, if you ask a young man, say 20, 25 years old, he is in the peak of his youth, and he has a conviction, a strong conviction that everything works according to his plan and schedules. So he is thinking, if you ask him the question, his answer will be that it's based on his own effort. He will answer that it is based on his own effort. My effort is more important. He stresses on that point very much. That I work hard, I earn well, and I live well, all kinds of explanations to that. So his idea is that the results come according to his effort. The same person, you leave him for a while, after say 30 or 40 years, when he is in his mid-50s or 60s, you ask him the same question. The same question you asked him when he was in his 20s. Then his answer will be a little different. By then he realizes that everything is not based on effort. Then he starts giving more importance to fate or destiny in life. Isn't it? I don't know whether you may have thought about this, but these are realities of this world. That at some point in life, one thinks that everything is based on effort, and then later on, he comes to realize it is not effort alone that maintains the things. So, these two issues, whether it is effort or whether it is destiny, which is more important? How should we act in this world? This is why this question came up here. Parikshit Maharaj's question was, our Priyavrata wanted to leave everything and go away to the forest. What pulled him back again to come and get involved? He didn't want to get married, but instead of marrying once, he got married twice. Number one. He didn't want to rule the planet, but he had to rule the planet for a very long period of time. Completely absorbed in the household and life. So, why did that happen? Why did that happen? This is the question that was put by Parikshit Maharaj to Lord Brahma. To Sukadeva Goswami. So, this fifth canto begins with this question. Bhagavata has a siddhantam in this. And if you understand this siddhantam, it will clarify this question. What is important? Is the destiny important? Or is the self-effort, one's own effort is important? We all face the same question in life many different times, isn't it? And so, in order to answer that, first of all, the life of Priyavrata was discussed, where he said that, but the Sudeva Goswami said that he was executing Brahmasatram. Brahmasatram means, as I mentioned before, he was absorbed completely in the thoughts of Krishna, and this thing called marriage happened to him. He had to leave everything and come and get married. This marriage, people say, it's like a circle. It's like a circle. Those who have got into that circle, they want to come out of that circle. And those who are outside the circle, they want to get into this circle. Isn't it? This is how somebody has defined marriage. This is a very funny circle, the circle of Maya, the circle of marriage, that those who have in their circle, inside that circle, they want to come out of that circle. And those who are outside that circle, they wanted to get into this circle somehow. So this is the nature of this world, and how come Priyavrata got trapped in this? This was the question from Parikshit. That too, a devotee who was so advanced, and took instruction from Sarada Maharshi, and went not to ordinary places, went straight away to Badrinath in Himalayas, in the icy, cold areas of Himalayas, where he pointed to, so determined he was in his life to go back, to leave this material life once for all. And such a person had to come back, get married, have children, run the planet, and then go back again at the end. Why did this happen? This was the most interesting question. Lot of us also going through in some way or the other, the same situation. To some degree or the other, it happens to many, many people in this world. In the beginning, there will be a lot of enthusiasm for spiritual life. After some time, they realize that there's nothing much happening anyway. So, let me carry on with both material life and spiritual life, both. And then much later, starts thinking, after all so many years, I've done whatever I can for Krishna, now I'll leave it to Krishna everything. I'll leave my material life properly. So all these different things can happen in spiritual life. But once we understand these instructions of Brahma to Priyavrata, you will get a little insight into this topic of discussion. When such a thing happens, how should one understand that? How should one deal with that? This is what it is discussed in this fifth canto. I'm only saying this because the background of this can help to understand Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam is not something commandment spoken from a very higher level, or no doubt about it. It is one of the highest philosophy of Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But often we get to the understanding that is this all real possible to realize what Krishna is saying? It is possible to realize when one understands these instructions of Brahma in the fifth canto. In the fifth canto. So, this question, whether fate or destiny or effort, which is important, which is the most powerful thing? There's also, we have a question, isn't it? Which one has come out first, the egg or the chicken? Isn't it? Similar question it is. Actually, strictly speaking, that question is not very correct. Because when you are taking the egg and the chicken, you are not taking the chicken that has come from the egg from where it has come. You are taking another egg and you are taking another chicken. A different chicken, different egg. And you are keeping those two and saying which has come first. But once you know that when the chicken comes out of the egg is finished. Isn't it? Egg is finished. Egg becomes the earth. It joins the earth and gets destroyed, whatever that was left in the egg. Then the chicken grows. And the chicken grows, when the chicken dies, it also dissolves into the earth. When it is dead, it dissolves into earth. So, neither the chicken has come from the egg, nor the egg has come from the chicken, both has come from the earth. This understand, because on a material level, materialistic people who have no understanding of the spiritual nature of the living entity, try to discuss in this way. Just like a tree and the seed. The tree has come from the seed. But once the tree has come out, that seed is finished. Seed dissolves into earth. Same thing with the tree also, once it dissolves into earth, that's finished. Both the origin is the earth. From where it has come. Or otherwise, the five material elements is the cause of all these things. So, there is always this problem that we will always end up with these two things in this world. There's two things always, and everyone gets confused about that. And that is where the modern science also gets confused. Science copes on researching with the matter, and eventually don't get any answer, and still the scientists are finding there is life and the matter. And they don't know where to start from. Which one comes from where? This issue comes to them also. They are not able to see where the matter has come from or where the life has come from. Neither is known to them because they don't accept the presence of the absolute truth behind it. Like Bhagavatam says about the truth, Param Satyam Param Dhimahi, that Param Satyam is unknown to them. They are working on a relative truth. So therefore, everything ends up in these two things. Like life and the matter. And they research in the matter for so long a time, trying to find the truth behind it. Isn't it? They carried on researching the matter. Eventually they have realized it, the matter is not giving them the answer. But at the same time they are also seeing the life existing in this world. The matter is able to function in different ways. How is the matter able to function? Because of the presence of life. They are not able to understand the origin of life or the matter, where they have come from. So they have also ended up with the same two things, like the chicken and the egg. Or like the tree and the seed, in the same way. Everything too, they come up. So this is where the question comes up in the Bhagavadam, that similarly, vidhi or fate or destiny, whatever you call it, and the effort, self-effort, these two things are also there in this world. These two things always exist. How do we understand which one to take? Which one and where does it apply? This is the question discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Siddhantam discusses these very, very fundamental topics in life. These are more important. Instead, what do? We go and study H2 plus O equal to H2O. Two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen. What is the use? What is the use of knowing all these things when we don't understand the very basics of life? Very basics of life. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is what the sages' realizations are. That they have transferred to us and given us a deeper understanding of life through these instructions to Priyaprada. Brahmaji begins with this. He talks about it like this, that his discussions are Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Brahma is called as Bhagavan at that time. Why? Because these instructions were from Krishna through Brahma to Brahma was deputed to go there. By Krishna's arrangement he had come, and this instruction from Krishna is coming to him. So, through Brahma, so Shri Bhagavan Vaja.
Nibhoda tado tade namrudam bravimi asuidam devamarhasya prameyam vayam bhavaste tadamesha maharshir vahama sarve vivasha yasya dishtam.
Then, Brahmaji is saying to Priyavrata that when you see some of the activities of this world, like me, he says, Brahma quotes himself. Me, Lord Shiva, and Srinarada Maharshi, and you, all of us are under the control of a higher energy, a higher force which works in this world. Which works in this world. He says, Vayam bhavaste tada esha maharshir vahama sarve vivashayasya dishtam. We are all working in this world. An unknown power which is moving us all the time to act, which forces me to create, which forces Lord Shiva to destroy, which forces Narada Maharshi to go and instruct people in spiritual life, which forces you to go and perform penances. First try to understand that power. He says like this. First try to understand that power. Because the moment once we do not know that power, everything will be in the form of two for us. This is called dvandvam. Dvandvam, the duality of this world. When we do not see the background behind it, who is running this show, our mind will go in a direction in these two. This whole world, material world, is nothing but a play field for this duality. Duality is playing all the time. And we will get caught up in that world when we are completely forgotten the one behind it, who is running the show. Who is running the show. So, the moment you see this duality in this material world, immediately you have to understand, it immediately baffles everybody. Everyone is baffled with that, completely perplexed about it. And then he does not know what actually caused this. He is not thinking that aspect of it. Rather, just like we talked about the chicken and egg, in the same way, we start looking at it. Could be this, it could be that. It could be this, it could be that. So, Brahmaji is saying here that this vision has to go from everyone first. One has to learn how to see that behind this, there is another superior force which is working. Which is working. In the Puranas, there is an interesting story about it. Interesting story about it. In one of the Puranas, it's mentioned. It's like this. Lord Shiva was getting married. And Sri Parvati, the bride, was there. And Shiva was going to marry Sri Parvati. So, in their marriages for the demigods and also among the higher society, the Purohit or the priest, has to ask the question. He has to get the father's name and the which gotram or parambara he comes from, everything he has to ask. So the Purohit was pensioning, performing Lord Shiva's marriage, asked Lord Shiva, who is your father? Because he has to mention the father's name. He says, my father's name is Brahma. He says, okay. And who is Brahma's father? He has to get few generations before. Who is Brahma's father? He says, Shiva says, it's Vishnu. And who is Vishnu's father? It's me, he says. So again, it's the same situation. Started with Shiva, went to Brahma, went to Vishnu, back to Shiva again. So in Puranas you will find all these things. In different Puranas the ways it is expressed is like this. It's not important who is who. That is not the important question here. Important thing is, what is it bringing the message? What's the message is coming from there? That behind all these things, there is another superior power. We refer to as Krishna, is working all the time. And Krishna's energy works in all these different directions. And therefore it is said, then one who says that destiny is more important, or one who says effort is more important, neither of them understand the truth. Neither of them understand the truth because he has not understood the root of it, where it is coming from. If you understand the root, you won't get confused about it. You won't get confused about it. That is the important point to understand. That vidhi or the destiny, what we call it, or the fate, whatever it is, and the effort, neither of them has any serious existence in this world. They are also controlled by another superior force behind it. Another superior force behind it. Let's look at it this way. What does destiny mean? Destiny or fate means, more or less everything is referring to the body, isn't it? It all refers to the body. So many experiences we get in life, in different forms, happiness or distress, most of it is on the platform of bodily level. On the platform of bodily level. And because it is based on the bodily level, and I am not this body, therefore you have to take it that destiny only relates to body. Destiny only relates to body. Destiny has nothing to do with the soul. It is the body that is experiencing the destiny or whatever the fate or vidhi or whatever we call it. It's all experienced by the body. By the body. So, from here, Brahmaji says to Priyavrata, and this body, which has made of 5 material elements, there is a reason behind it why you got this body. When we receive a particular body, there is a reason why a body was given to us in a particular form, in a particular place, under particular parents, and under particular conditions. It happened just with an accident. It was not an accident. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is never an accident. All these things have happened because of the what is known as prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. And this prarabdha karma means what? Prarabdham bhagavad, it is a Bhagavata Siddhanta. Bhagavatam is talking about this, that when we receive a body, already it is decided that in that particular body, what amount of happiness and distress you have to that body has to experience. That's already settled before we receive that body. From our bank of karma bank, we have taken out a part of that, which is called as the fructified karma, or the karma which was in storage, some of it has fructified, and that has come in the form of prarabdham. And this prarabdha karma will carry on doing its duty in this world under all circumstances. And everything that comes from prarabdham is related to the body. So the body has to experience that. So Srimad Bhagavatam is saying here, Leave that part alone on its own. Look back into the effort side of it. That means our own self-effort. Suppose I want to lift the hand from here. I may think it is my effort, isn't it? I think that it is my effort I am able to lift the hand. But if you have understood Srimad Bhagavatam, you know that in order to lift the hand, you require approval from Krishna inside. It is by His presence inside, I am able to lift this hand. It says in the Bhagavatam. In fact, Dhruva Maharaj, when he starts glorifying Krishna, he begins with this point. Yonda pravesha mama majavimam prasuptam sanjeevayatyagila shakti haraswadhamna anyamsha hasta charana shravanam tvagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. This is his first verse addressing Krishna. Anyamscha hastam. Hastam means hands. Charana means legs. by whose presence in me these hands and legs are able to function. Anyamscha hasta charana shravanam tugadin. By whose presence I am able to hear. I am able to even hear anything. That by to whom prana namo bhagavade purushaya dubhyam. To that supreme personality, to him I offer my respects to him. So here I may think this is my self effort, but actually it is Krishna who is allowing me to do that. If Krishna has not allowed me to do that, it is not going to happen either. That is the most important point. So even when it comes to self-help, there is this question, what is possible and what is not possible? What is possible and what is not possible? So Bhagavatam is saying there that if you look into the origin of all these things, you will notice that both vidhi and prayatnam, or in other words, effort and one's its own effort and also his fate or destiny, they are nothing to do with self-realization. They have nothing to do with self-realization. Realizing the self is another issue. It is another issue. Bhagavatam says there that body will experience your prarabdham. Body will experience your prarabdham. That will come and that will go. As far as the effort is concerned, with Krishna's approval, you can do certain things in this world. For example, even prayatnam or effort if you take, everybody cannot put effort into everything, can they? Why? Because, for example, say someone is handicapped at the time of birth. He cannot, throughout his life, he has to live with that. If a situation happens like that, then he is not able to function properly like an other person, normal person, can function in this world. So there itself you can see that effort also depends very much on the sanctioning from Krishna's side. When Krishna sanctions something, then you have got the tools to operate, then you can put some effort, so long as it is supported from behind by Krishna. So long as it is supported from behind by Krishna. So, as far as body is concerned, everything depends on the prarabdham. That will come and that will go. So Bhagavatam says, leave the body to itself. Let it continue with its prarabdham. Don't get too much absorbed in that. This is the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Strictly speaking, all of us, particularly our material body, is nothing but a toy in the hands of prarabdham. Nothing but a toy in the hands of prarabdham. Otherwise, why is that somebody is dying much earlier and somebody is dying much later? Someone is having a proper health throughout life. Somebody has always problems with the health. Like this, if you look into people's life, you can see that there is a higher law behind it. And that is what we call it as prarabdham. Simply we call it as prarabdham. And this prarabdham will play its role on your body. You cannot do anything about it. So leave the body to prarabdham. This is the message from Srimad Bhagavatam. Leave the body to prarabdham. Don't try to adjust that prarabdham too much. It will not work. Because it says here, Ishasahi vayam lokaha. Yesha dharumai yatha. Just like a toy, it is being played by material nature. Material nature plays with us in that way, that we have no freedom to change it too much. We cannot change, alter it too much. Because if you absorb in changing the prarabdham all your life, then still, in spite of your change in the prarabdham, you still have to leave the body. Leave that body. Ultimately, it is out of your hands, out of your control. It's completely under the control of the control of the material nature. But if it is so, then what should we do? That's the next question. If it is like this, what should we do? If body is not under our control, if it is under the control of prarabdha karma, what should we do? In this body, there is something which we always identify with is, I am, isn't it? I'm always thinking, I know that I'm not this body. That is not very difficult to understand. Although I'm not realizing it, it is not difficult to understand that. By logic and reasoning, Krishna has presented that in the Bhagavad Gita very well. That is why all the great commentators on Bhagavad Gita take those verses very seriously in the second chapter. നാസതെ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ ന ഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ. ഉഭയോരവി ദൃഷ്ടാന്തം സ്ഥനയോർ തത്വദർശിവി. ലേണഡ് ട്രാൻസെൻഡന്റലിസ്റ്റ് ഹാവ് എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ് ദിസ് ഫാക്ട് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് വിൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഫോർ എവർ, വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഡസന്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് വിൽ ഓൾവേസ് വിൽ നെവർ എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ഫോർ എവർ. So in other words, the difference between matter and the spirit. If I identify with the body, I have no freedom to do very much. That is under the control of prarabdham. That will do its own part. Once I realize that I am not this body and I am spirit soul, once I have accepted, even theoretically, if you have accepted that, Bhagavatam says, from that point onwards, your effort has to be to look inwards to your own form, your proper identity, and to ignore this identity of the body. Ignore this identity of the body. This is the most important thing in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Siddhantam is like that. Swarupam means your true identity. Turn all your efforts and energy in that direction. And leave that energy, what you are spending in the maintaining the body or trying to change the body, bodily happiness. Then, in order to turn the mind inwards, in order to look inwards into one's own original identity, cultivate that knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and all the shraddha, that is required to identify the, to realize the self. And there is no restriction. There is no restriction on that. There is no prarabdham that can touch that. Prarabdham can touch your body. Prarabdham cannot touch your spiritual efforts. Efforts in the spiritual direction will always move on. That is never go away. In order to illustrate this, you can see even great personalities, when they were in this world, they were always made sure that the material body will carry on in its own way. You cannot give too much importance to it. That is not everything. Example, there was a president, India's president, Dr. Radhakrishnan, who was also a professor at Oxford, very learned scholar. Prabhupada used to visit him often before he went to America, and even after coming back from America, he went to see Dr. Radhakrishnan. So Dr. Radhakrishnan was a learned scholar, very well known, and he was respected very much among the academic circles, and his books on philosophy and other things are very, very well known, a highly distinguished scholar. And this personality, at the time of death, he could not even remember his name. He couldn't even remember his name, who he was. And Prabhupada mentions about that in the conversations also. When he went to see him, he was like a vegetable, he said. He was lying there, not knowing what it is situated. So, in order to think about material body too much, and think that we will keep this body happy all the time, Bhagavatam says, stop it. It doesn't work. You are wasting your time. Leave the body to prarabdham. Don't get absorbed about it too much. Leave the body to prarabdham. Prarabdham will come, and prarabdham will play its role, and prarabdham will take the body also one day. But then what can we do? You can do one thing. What is that? To develop this knowledge of the self, and turn our mind and all the energy in developing this knowledge of the self, how it is discussed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The result will be that once you have realized the self in which nothing can come, that is why in the Bhagavatam beginning itself says, Ahaituki apratihada, there is no blocks on this path when one is willing to take it. If one is not willing to take it, there is all the blocks in that path. Everything will come at that point. So, Ahaituki apratihada yena alpa samprasidati, Sudha Goswami says there. If you take to this spiritual life seriously, as discussed here in the Bhagavatam, then Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, if your attention has turned towards the soul, to the your true identity, Swarupam, as it is called, and all the knowledge and Shraddha you are spending to acquire that knowledge of the soul and to realize the soul, then that is the way to get out of this misery of Prarabdham. Because Prarabdham will go away after some time. Once our self is realized, then there is no Prarabdham after that. Prarabdham is over. See, the example is given like this. We have to think about a little bit more. Say, let's example. The a person, he has got a bow and an arrow. Bow and an arrow. Now, he has got a quiver, it is called, isn't it? The one where he put all the arrows. Quiver, yeah. So, there is some arrows in the quiver. He has taken the bow and is ready to shoot an arrow. One arrow he has already shot. It's gone. The second arrow he has put on the bow and is ready to shoot. And the remaining arrow is in the quiver. These three karmam is also like that. The arrow that has been released and gone, that is prarabdham, that you can't touch now anymore. It's gone. It's out of your control. But the other two, the one which is on the bow and the one that is in the quiver, you have a control on that. That's still in your control. So, by practicing, turning this mind, turning our effort or the self-effort in the direction of the soul to realize the self and practicing Krishna consciousness, these two arrows don't have to be shot. It can be thrown away at that point. That will stop. That will not come back again. That arrow which has already been released, that is going to go. It is looking for a target. It has been shot at a particular target. And that is going towards that target. Now, where does that target end? The prarabdham that has come to us, where does it hit us? It hits us on one point. Where does it hit? It hits us on our false ego. Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the cause behind it, isn't it? So, what normally happens is, everything that we experience in the body, through different in situations in this world, while living here, everything is based on the false ego. Anything that affects us is the false ego that gets hurt. So, Acharya Swamiji says there, that if you want to escape from prarabdham, there is only one thing you can do. You change the target. It is coming to hit the false ego, so you move the false ego from there. Once you take the false ego away from there, the prarabdham also cannot disturb you. It has no, ultimately it will go and fall somewhere. It won't have any goal eventually to hit. So, Srimad Bhagavatam in this fifth canto begins with this discussion. That vidhi or destiny is more important or self-effort is more important. What should one do? The clear answer from Bhagavata Siddhantam is like this. Leave the vidhi to itself. That is in reference to the body. Self-effort is possible and that will become, that will fructify when it is turned towards the self or the one's true identity or seeking its one's own true identity, spiritual identity in other words. So that is what is discussed in this particular verses. I'll read through that verses and what he says about that. Natasya kaschal tavasa vidyaya va na yoga viryana manishaya va na yvartha dharmai paradasvado va kadam vihandam tanabradhi bhuyad. He says, natasya kaschal tavasa vidyaya va. Brahmaji says to Priyavrata, nakasya kaschal tavasa vidyaya va. By tapasa means austerities, vidya means knowledge. Na yoga viryana manishaya va, nor by yoga system, nor by your intelligence. Na yu artha dharmai parada swado va, nor by your artha dharmai, artham or dharma, by wealth or by religious principles. Parada swado va, or by the help of others, or by one's own effort. Kritam vihandam tanipraddhi bhuyal. Then, body will have to accept its own destiny. That is what he is saying. Body will have to accept its own destiny. In other words, even if you have come to the understanding that you are working in the direction of spiritual realization, self-realization, in that process also, a lot of bodily discomforts will come. At that time, Bhagavatam is saying, leave that body to itself. Let it carry on with its work. Because that's already the prarabdham that has come. All you can do is to continue your effort in the direction of self-realization. Bhavaya nashaya cha karma kartam, shogaya mohaya sada bhayaya, sukhaya dukhaya cha deha yogam, avyakta nishtam janadangadatem. That living entities, Brahma is giving a discussion on that.
ഭവായ നാശായ ച കർമ്മകർത്തം ശോകായ മോഹായ സദാഭയായ ദാറ്റ് ബൈ എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് കർമ്മം ആൻഡ് വേരിയസ് കർമ്മം ഹി ഹാസ് അക്യുമുലേറ്റഡ് ഹി ഈസ് ബൗണ്ട് ടു ടേക്ക് ബർത്ത് അഗെയിൻ ആൻഡ് ദ റിസൾട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ ബി അഫക്റ്റഡ് ബൈ ദി ഹാപ്പിനെസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് സുഖായ ദുഃഖായ ച ദേഹയോഗം അവ്യക്തതിഷ്ഠം ജനതാംഗദത്തെ ഹി ആക്സെപ്റ്റ്സ് ദിസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് കർമ്മം അലോൺ യദ്വാചിദന്ത്യാം ഗുണകർമ്മദാമഭി സുദുസ്ഥരീർവത്സവയം സുയോജിത സർവേ വഹാമോ ബലിമീശ്വരായ പ്രോദാനസീവ ദ്വിപദേ ചതുഷ്പദാഹ ഭാഗവതം സേസ് യദ്വാചിദന്ത്യാം ഗുണകർമ്മദാമഭി സുദുസ്ഥരീർവത്സവയം സുയോജിതാഹ ദാറ്റ് ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വെൻ വൺ അക്സെപ്റ്റ്സ് ദിസ് ഗുണം ഇൻ കർമ്മം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദി വർണാശ്രമധർമ്മം വി ഫങ്ഷൻ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് അണ്ടർ ദി pretext of varnashramam, one is supposed to act in this world. So when one is acting in this world, what happens is, sudustare valsavayam suyojidaha. Strictly speaking, he is not realizing that he is controlled, just like a bull is controlled with the rope through its noses, isn't it? Through the two holes, a nose is put. And the man who is controlling the bull, he pulls that rope which is gone through the noses. And he controls the bull with that rope. So, Pradhanasiva Dvipade Chatushpada. Chatushpada is the bull, Dvipade is the human being. The two-legged one controls the four-legged with that rope. Exactly like that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead through material nature controls all of us in that way. ഈശാവിതൃഷ്ടം അവിരിൻ മഹേംഗ ദുഃഖം സുഖം വ ഗുണകർമ്മ സംഗാൽ ആസ്ഥായ ദത്തദ്വതയുക്തനാഥം ചക്ഷുഷ്പദാന്താം ഇവനീയമാനാം that because of gunam and karmam, because of the association with that, that he cannot see that what his real position is. He is thinking that he is the controller and continues his activities, although he is chakshushpadantham ivaniyamanam, that he accepts the happiness and distress and everything, but he does not realize that it has happened due to some other causes. He is unknown about them. മുക്തോപിതാവത്ബ്രിയാൽസ്വദേഹം ഭാരതമശ്തന്നഭിമാന ശൂന്യ യഥാനുഭൂതം പ്രതിയാത നിദ്ര കിഞ്ചാനിദേഹായ ഗുണ അന്നവന്തേം ദാറ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് പോയിന്റ് മുക്തോപിതാവത്ബ്രിയാൽസ്വദേഹം ആരബ്ധമശ്തന്നഭിമാന ശൂന്യ ദാറ്റ് ഹീ ഷുഡ് വെയ്റ്റ് ടിൽ പ്രാരബ്ധം റൺസ് ഔട്ട് ടിൽ ദ പ്രാരബ്ധം റൺസ് ഔട്ട് ഹി ഹാസ് ടു വെയ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ If he has that proper consciousness while dealing with the body, he can escape from the effect of the body. That's what he is saying. Arabdhamashtan abhimanya shunyaha. When he is experiencing prarabdham in his body, he should accept it abhimanya shunyam, without any false ego. And then he can escape from this when he leaves the body. It will not come back to him again. That is why this body, material body given to us, is a practice ground to come out of this prarabdham by experimenting in this abhimana shunyam. Abhimana shunyam means without any false ego. The example that is given here is that just like when we dream something in the night, when we wake up in the morning, we don't think about it too much, isn't it? We don't think about it too much because that doesn't affect the soul. That doesn't affect the soul because we know it is just a dream. Because our consciousness was clear about that the dream did not disturb us, because it doesn't go back to the soul again. It doesn't cause any problem to the soul, because it was a dream in the night. Similarly, if the same consciousness prevails in our jagrat state, in the wakened state also, while executing karmam, if that detachment is there like in the dream state had, the same karmam won't bind you later on, and after death one is released from the bondage. That is the important point Brahmaji is mentioning here. Muktobidaval Briyal Sudeham Arabdham Ashtan Abhimanya Shunyaha Yathanibhutam Pradyada Nidraha Kinjanya Dehaya Gunanna Vrinte. Just like the dream state experiences does not bind the soul, even Jagrat state also, if he has the same attitude or if he has the same relationship with the activities in the Jagrat state, then he will not be affected by that after leaving this body. Bhayam brahmatyasamanesha vesyal yadasamaste sahasarshatavatna jitendriyaatmasya atmaradeer buddhasya grihashrama kimna karotyavadyam. On the other hand, a person who has not cultivated this relationship with the world, for him, even if he goes to the forest, Brahmaji says there is no use. Once it so happened, one person, he was a householder, grihastha he was. He came and said to a sage once like this, he said, I want to become a sannyasi, he said, so that I can be released from all the bondage in this world, Because sannyasi's position is supposed to be that he is not connected with anything in this world. This world, life in this world is concerned, it's over for him. So when he said this, the sage asked him, so what you want to do? He said, I want to take sannyas, he said. So he says to him, what do you think today you are doing? He said, I am a householder now, but I am entangled in everything. But if I take sannyas, maybe I will not be entangled. I will be a sannyasi then, he said. He says to him, now you are identifying yourself as a grihastha based on your dress and your actions. Tomorrow you will do exactly the same thing in your sannyasi dress also. That's not going to be any different. So sannyasam is not actually changing clothes. And Brahmaji is saying to Priyavrata, whether you stay as a householder, whether you stay in Himalayas, if your consciousness is not right, that detachment has not come in you, whether here or there, it makes no difference. This is the point Brahmaji is making to Priyavrata. Lord Brahma says to Priyavrata that Bhayam Brahmatyasa Vanesha Visyal Yadasamaste Sahashal Sabatnaha. These six things, Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Moham, Madam, Malsaryam, the six enemies of the mind, one is supposed to be relieved from all these in sannyasashram. So if one cultivates this, one is released from all these six enemies of lust, anger, greed, those things, these six things. If one is released in householder life, Lord Brahma says there is no need for him to take to sannyasam. Otherwise, if he has got all these bad elements in his mind, even if he takes sannyas, what difference it makes? This is the question. So what is important here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the mood and the thoughts behind it is more important than the dress and the external clothes. They have no value. They are there only to support the system. All these sannyasa dress and brahmachari dress and grihastha dress, they are just there to give an impression to the people who comes to see them, to deal with them in the proper way. Otherwise, they are not the goal of the ashramam. Ashramam is each goal, each ashramam has its own recommended qualifications. So achieving those qualifications is more important. Even grihastha ashramam and sannyasa ashram is also a preparation for these things. So which ashramam one accepts is not important. On the other hand, control of the senses, control of the mind, control of the bodily activities, and at the same time cultivating spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization is more important than all the other things. Quite often, people get caught up in this. They see, oh, he's a sannyasi, so everything must be perfect with him, what he is doing. So these are all our own mind, which is not able to adjust the situation properly. So here, yashat sabatman vijigishamano griheshu nurveshe deda purvam atyadi durgashudam urjidaryan kshiyeshu vamam vijiretu vashchil tvam abjanabha angri sarojagosham durgashudu narjidu shalsabatnaha bhungsheha bhogan purushadi dishtan vimukta sanga prakritim bhajaswaha. So at that time, Brahmaji gave the instructions to Priyavrata that it doesn't matter whether you go to Himalayas or you live here as a householder. And that is how he explained it to Priyavrata. Priyavrata understood that message seriously and he took to householder life, got married, not once, twice. And Priyavrata's activities you can read in the fifth canto much later. So if you keep this in your mind, this what Brahmaji instructed Priyavrata, which is one of the most fundamental principles of Bhagavatam, fundamental principles of Bhagavatam, then you come to Ekadasha Skandam, and if you study Ekadasham, it will give you some inspiration to continue. Otherwise, all the time, you will start say, blaming about the body, bodily conditions, the fate of the body, or the bodily problems, and never once will turn the mind in the proper direction towards this goal. What is that? The self. Towards the goal, the self. So, we discussed this last Sunday, and we stopped there. Where did we stop? We said that our Narayana Pada Anjastarati Dustaram. That is what finally he said. Narayana Paro Anjasaradi Dustaram. He said. So one who has become so Krishna conscious in that way, he can come over, cross over Maya, he said. It was at that point the next question came from the king. The king asked the question. What was king's question? King's question was that king said to him that if one person who has taken shelter of Narayana or Krishna, he can cross over Maya, then who is this Narayana? That's the question. Up to this point, Narayana has not been discussed. Kavi discussed about Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness. Hari discussed about Bhakta Lakshanam or symptoms of a devotee. Andariksha said that you can only do this if you change, turn your mind inwards or look inwards. That is all called Andarichanam. His name is Andariksha. Or in other words, what is Maya, he discussed. Then, now Pipalayana, Prabuddha, who discussed now, says here how to cross over Maya. Isn't it? So the four points we have discussed so far. Kavi, Hari, Andariksha and Prabuddha. So Prabuddha now concludes the discussion with this. He is saying there that he says here that iti bhagavadan dharman shikshan bhaktya tadutthaya narayana paro maya anjastaradi dustaram. He can cross over maya easily. Easily means that if he has experienced all these things, what he has said here. So, he said, there he also discussed that if one wants to engage his senses, engage the senses in Krishna consciousness. If he wants to engage his mind, engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. If he wants to engage the intelligence, engage it in Krishna consciousness. If you want to engage the body, engage it in Krishna consciousness. In this way, very easily, he should be able to cross over Maya. That's what we have stopped earlier. Now we continue from there. Then he also mentioned there that a devotee will, the symptoms of a devotee we spoke about, that a devotee is always happy. A devotee is always happy. If a devotee is not happy, that means he is not a devotee. That's the thing. Devotee, that is the first thing. If a devotee is always miserable and always moaning and groaning about everything in this world, then he is not a devotee. That is what it means. Because his mind is absorbed in so many other things in this world. A devotee's mind is only absorbed in one thing. What is that? Krishna. There is nothing else he needs in this world. And if he is genuinely looking for Krishna, then he wouldn't be too concerned about what goes on in this world. It's not his headache. He doesn't have to worry. He knows very well that the person who has created this world also knows how to run this world. And he doesn't have to worry about it too much. It's not on our head, all of this. Devotee is looking for Krishna. Devotee wants to go back to Krishna. He doesn't want to waste his time in activities which are not helping him in that matter. And that is what is explained here. That's why I mentioned before, yuyam, yuyam, vayam, vayam. They are what they are. Materialists are what they are. That you can't say. And we are what we are. We will be what we will be. And those devotees who are actually sincerely following Krishna's instructions or studying Krishna's instructions, they will not want to waste their time in activities which are not conducive for him to become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious. Then, so it was at that time, in these words you will see that word, രാജോവാച പരീക്ഷിത് മഹാരാജ് ആസ്കിംഗ് സോറി കിങ് നിമി ഈസ് ആസ്കിംഗ് നാരായണാഭിധാനസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മണ പരമാത്മന നിഷ്ഠാമർഹതമോ വക്തും യു എം ഹി ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമാഹ ഇറ്റ് സേസ് ദെയർ ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമ ദർ ആർ ത്രീ ടൈപ്സ് ബ്രഹ്മ റിയലൈസേഷൻ ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തരം ആൻഡ് ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമം ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമം മീൻസ് ദ സൂപ്പർ മോസ്റ്റ് ഡിഗ്രി സൂപ്പർലേറ്റീവ് ഡിഗ്രി ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമ ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് യു ഓൾറെഡി come to that platform in spiritual life from where you are able to tell us what is that narayanabhidhanasya brahmana paramatmanah who is narayana you also refer to him as brahma and paramatma isn't it if you remember in the bhagavatam in the beginning it says vadandida tattvidam tattvam jnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyate Vastu is the same. The same Vastu, the same truth is spoken in three different ways by the transcendentalists. The jnanis calls it as Brahman, the yogis call it as Paramatma, and the devotees call it as Bhagavan. But the Vastu is the same. The truth is spoken in three different ways and says in the Bhagavatam. Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade. So here also the same thing. Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana. നിഷ്ഠാം അർഹതനോ വക്തും യു എം ഹി ബ്രഹ്മവിത്തമ ദൻ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ആക്ച്വലി ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ഹൂ ഈസ് ദിസ് നാരായണ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹി ഹൗ ഡു വി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് നാരായണ നൗ ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം അറ്റ് ദിസ് പോയിന്റ് ദി ആൻസർ ഈസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ബൈ എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് സേജ് കോൾ പിപ്പലായനം പിപ്പലായന ആൻസേഴ്സ് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ പിപ്പൽ ട്രീ മീൻസ് അശ്വത്ഥ ട്രീ ഓർ ബനിയൻ ട്രീ One who is sitting underneath that tree is called Pipalayanan, one who has taken the shelter of Pipal tree. Which in other words, it means a saintly personality who sits underneath the Pipal tree. Also remember that Ashwatha tree in the Bhagavad Gita. Udhamulam athashakam ashwatham prahuravyayam chandamsi asya varnani istum vedasa vedavet. One who knows this Ashwatha tree, he knows what it is, isn't it? Krishna says like that in the Bhagavad Gita. So this person, Pipalayana Maharshi, as he is referred to here, is that person who knows that truth. What is Narayana? Read his discussion about Krishna, how he presents Krishna to us in a totally different level. He talks about Krishna in such a way that when you hear Krishna's, who is Krishna from Pipalayana Maharshi, it enlargens our understanding of Krishna. We get a much deeper understanding of Krishna from Pipalayana Maharshi's explanation in the six different heavy verses which follows this verse. Six very powerful verses he talks about Krishna. What is Krishna? What is Narayana, in other words? That is discussed by Pipalayana Maharshi here. So, there he says, Who is Narayana? Who is Narayana? That was the question. And UM is the word here used. UM means you. The English word you comes from UM. The Sanskrit word UM, the English word you came. Similarly, the word we came from YM. YM is a Sanskrit word. We is the English word for that. So it's the same word, comes in different forms. And similarly, you'll also, te, the word used to te, they, that comes from te. So, all these languages are the same, but in different places it got transformed in different ways. So here, the question came, who is Narayana? What was the question which was raised? Earlier, we spoke about a devotee. A devotee's attitude in Krishna consciousness is like this, that he sees that by Krishna's arrangement, everything is provided to him. He is thinking, I am not doing anything for Krishna. I am not even chanting the holy name. I am not studying Srimad Bhagavatam. On the other hand, I have not done anything for Krishna. But he is still providing me food. He is providing me a place to sleep. And he gives me sleep at the time when I want to sleep. I don't have to depend on any other external sources. And somehow or the other, this body is functioning in this world. This is how a devotee thinks about the one who has devotion for Krishna. He will think in that way and he will be peaceful in his life. But a non-devotee, or person who has no devotion to Krishna, he would think everything it is under his control, he is doing it, and his false ego is always giving him different identities, and he starts thinking that it is because of his effort that everything is happening. Then, so who is Narayana? That question was asked. Pipalaya Maharshi now in the next verses is trying to define Narayana in 6 different verses. Long verses, he discusses what is Narayana. Pipalaya Uvacha. Verse 35. Stityulbhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna jagara susuptishu salbahischa dehendriya sukhdayani charandiyena sanjeevideni tadavehi param marendra. That is the first verse. Now, what does it mean? Stityulbhava pralaya hedu ahedurasya yal swapna jagara susuptishu salbahischa. Normally, in Sanskrit, they have a system that is called as Surupa Lakshanam and Tadastha Lakshanam. Tadastha Lakshanam means that in order to point out the truth, you take the help of something which is not permanent but it is temporary. For example, suppose I want to tell you that some particular house, say in Lechmore Heath, somebody's house, if I tell you that if you go out of the gate and say there is a, when I was coming there was a bird sitting there on top of the roof of that tree, go there and you'll see a crow sitting there on top of the tree, top of the house, that is the house of that person. Suppose there is no signboard, number plate or the name plate or anything like that. If I want to tell you, when I was just walking, you were going out and you were asking me which house is that, I'm telling you that the bird that is sitting on the top of that house is that person whom you were asking for. He lives in that house. Now, there, the bird was used as a temporary way of indicating the house to the person who asked that question. But if I, after many days, if somebody asks me, there is that question, if I say to him, the bird is sitting on the house, that won't be an answer for that question, would it? So that was only a temporary object was utilized to indicate the object. This is called Tadastha Lakshanam. In Sanskrit, it's called as Tadastha Lakshanam. It is different than the Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam means its actual Swarupam, its true form, which doesn't change. So when we discuss about the soul, when we discuss about Krishna, these two things you will see coming in the Bhagavatam very often. Tadastha Lakshanam and Swarupa Lakshanam. They are used all the time. Reason for that is, Swarupam is unknown to us. Our form is unknown to us. And our true form is part and parcel of Krishna. Isn't it? Part and parcel of Krishna. In order to know Krishna, we have to know about ourselves also, what we are. Only when we know ourselves, we know that connection with Krishna. Up to that point, we won't understand the connection with Krishna. We may be saying a lot of things, what we read in this book, that book, we heard this lecture, that lecture, so many things. In the Bhagavadam, that is always spoken very clearly. When you remember, when Rahugana went to see, when Rahugana met Jatabharata, Bharata Yogeshwara, Bharat Maharaj in his dress like that, you know, fully soiled dress, and he was sitting there as a yogi, Rahugana did not understand him. What did Rahugana do? He offended him, insulted him, and spoke a lot of harsh words to him, and told him, I am the king, do you know that? He says to Rahugana. Rahugana says to Bharat Maharaj. And Rahugana says to him, Bharat Maharaj did not answer one word for all what he spoke. When Rahugana Vacha, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see, Rahugana spoke a lot of things, criticizing him, chastising him. Then, Bharata Yogeshwar thought for a second, should I speak to this person? He thought for a moment, should I speak to him? He took a decision, let me speak to him. Maybe it may help him. Only out of compassion he decided to speak to him. He could have left him like that and gone. Nothing would have happened. King couldn't have done anything with him, because if you remember the previous incident, when they tried to chop off his head and offer to Durga Devi, she herself appeared from there and took the head of the pujari who was going to do that. Isn't it? That story is there in the Bhagavadam. Bharata Yogeshwara and Rahugana. So Rahugana at this point was chastising him and complaining to him and showing his authority as the king. So at that point Bharata Yogeshwara told, Bharata Maharaj says to Rahugana, Rahugana, I understand who you are because you have told me who you are now. So I understand who you are. And you are also telling me that you are going to hear a lecture from Bhagavadam. From who? From Kavila Maharshi. That is the most interesting. He says, Rahugana is glorifying Kavila Maharshi. And Bharata Yogeshwara is saying to Rahugana, you are going to take instructions from that great sage who? Kavila Bhagavan. He says in the Bhagavadam, it says Kavila Bhagavan. Krishna himself has came as Lord Kapila. And you are going to take instructions from him, isn't it? He says. So, when he said that, Rahugana realized that I am a very stupid person. That is the point we change this mind. That, you see, this is the mercy of the great soul. When it comes like this. Suddenly, Rahugana, he was very educated, you have to remember that. He had a lot of knowledge. He has studied all the books. He has studied everything. And now all he wanted was that he had no practical realization of anything. Nothing in realization. So our Bharata Yogeshwara wanted to tell him that you are such an exalted person. You are a king. You are so learned. Now you are going to the great sage to get instructed by him. Everything is there. But why you have no realization? It's empty inside. Completely empty. So that situation should not happen to anyone. This is most important point. That if we become like Rahugana, studying all the books, running the courses, seminars, everything, and teaching everyone else in this world, but if he remains as Rahugana in ourselves, what is the use of that? Then we will need some Bharata Yogeshwara to come and tell us what is the truth. Isn't it? This is what's happening in this world also. Often you see this tendency, that there is no understanding. Bharata Yogeshwara says that at that point to Rahugana. What did he say to him? Rahugana, that you got all these things, but you haven't got it what you are supposed to have. Haven't got it. Rahugana was intelligent enough to realize it, that what I don't have, he has got it. What is that? The realization of the self. Self-realization. And that is why their activities were so different. Rahugana sitting in the palanquin comfortably, carried by four people, walking freely to hear Bhagavadam lecture. Imagine, king, so advanced he is, so many people are there like that. They sit in the palanquin, carried by four or five people, comfortably to take them to the place where Bhagavadam lecture is going on, because I'm coming to hear Bhagavadam. Bharata Yogeshwara has not endeavored to study Srimad Bhagavatam, but already the realization is there what you have to know through Srimad Bhagavatam. He has already got it. That is what you will see Brahmana Vacha in the Bhagavatam. When Bharata Yogeshwara is speaking, you will see what he says is the one that is the truth to be realized through Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Vinamahalpadarajobhishegam. He says to Rahugana, all these things what you have told me and what you have tried to explain to me, these things will not come to you unless you have been given that mercy by a great devotee, by a great devotee of Krishna. It is through him that will come to you at the end. Vinamahalpadarajobhishegam. Then Mahalpada Rajobhishegam, that is the most important thing. So there it was stressed about that point. Now here also you will see there the same thing. That When Narayana's position, who is Narayana? This question. Actually, all this part of Srimad Bhagavatam is only interesting to people who have seriousness in spiritual life. Otherwise, it will be very boring. It will be very, very boring because this is a little bit deeper than the four regulative principles. Four regulative principles we can discuss, and it's very interesting all the time. But some point we have to leave four regulative principles also. And there's something more serious in the Srimad Bhagavatam where we are talking about the Swarupam, about one's own identity, what we are. And that is somewhat more important because the spiritual life is not complete unless we get there to that point. Everything else can go on. And these great personalities like these Navayogis, through their instructions, they are teaching us how to get there, how to get to that point. So if we don't take those instructions seriously, and if we don't reflect on it enough, then the knowledge of the soul will not waken up inside. It will be always on a bodily platform we will operate. We will operate on a bodily level. Never once we will come out of this circle of bodily identity. In order to, you see, Ekadasha Skandam, the title itself is Mukti. Mukti means what? Mukti from liberation. Liberation from what? Liberation from bodily identity. That is why it is given so much importance, Ekadasham. Ekadasham's importance is this, because this is one thing what we are all fighting against, isn't it? This bodily identity. Identification with the land of birth, identification with the community, with the family, with the society, with this, with that. So many false identities. We have put all these clothes on the soul, different coverings on the soul, and we are walking around in this world. Soul is not something which has to be realized elsewhere. It's already inside. All you have to do is to get rid of all these identities, and it shines in its own pure form. The soul shines in its pure consciousness. So, in order to remove these false identities, what we have acquired, the sages, particularly the yogis, are talking about Krishna from different angles. And when we understand the instructions of the Navayogis, we will understand the importance of self-realization. Stitul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna jagara susupshashu sad bahischaham. Here, Narayana's definition is started here. Discussion on Narayana. What is Narayana means? What does Narayana means? Previously, if you look into the fifth canto of Bhagavadam, there Bharata Yogeshwar gave discussion of the definition of the title Vasudeva. If you remember, there is a verse there. Jnanam Vishuddham Paramartham Egam Pratyak Prashandam Anandaram Tubahir Brahma Satyam Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Shamtyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi Yad Vasudevam Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samtyam Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. The name Vasudev, what does it mean? It was defined by Bharata Yogeshwara there. Here, Pipalayana Maharshi is defining the word Narayana. What does Narayana mean? That is the definition in the next verse. There, Jnanam Nishuddham Paramartham Egam. Pure knowledge and absolute truth. Vishuddham Paramartham Egam Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. And Pratyak Prashandam Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. Then it is always inside, illuminating every living entity inside. Pratyak Prashandam. Inside, he illuminates the person. Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. And he is referred to as Bhagavan. And then it says here, Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Kavi means one who has higher realizations. They call this as Vasudev. Vasudev is addressed as like that. So here in this verse, he says there, Srishtisthiti Pralaya, Srishtisthitulbhava Pralaya Hedura Hedurasya. Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam. Three things. What are they? Sthiti means sustenance, Ulbhava means creation, and Pralaya means devastation. Three states of existence. Three states. Creation, dissolution, and maintenance. You can call it like that. Sthiti, Ulbhavam, Pralayam. സ്ഥിതി, ഉത്ഭവം, പ്രളയം. സ്ഥിതി മീൻസ് സസ്റ്റനൻസ്, ഉത്ഭവം മീൻസ് ബിഗിൻ ക്രിയേഷൻ, ആൻഡ് പ്രളയം മീൻസ് ഡിസൊല്യൂഷൻ. ത്രീ തിങ്സ്. സോ ബിക്കോസ് ദ സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ് പൊസിഷൻ കനോട്ട് ബി എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻഡ് ഈസിലി, we are യൂസിംഗ് ഹിയർ, പിപ്പലായന മഹർഷി ഈസ് യൂസിംഗ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് കോൾഡ് എസ് തടസ്ഥലക്ഷണം. തടസ്ഥലക്ഷണം മീൻസ്, ആസ് ഐ മെൻഷൻ ബിഫോർ, ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വി സീ ദ ക്രോ ഇൻ ടോപ്പ് ഓഫ് ദ ഹൌസ്, യൂസിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ക്രോ ആസ് എ ടെമ്പററി ഓബ്ജക്ട്, വി ആർ പോയിന്റിംഗ് ഔട്ട് ടു ദ ഹൌസ്, ഇസ്നെ. സിമിലർലി ദിസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ, സസ്റ്റനൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസൊല്യൂഷൻ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ആൾസോ നോട്ട് പെർമനന്റ്. യു ഹാവ് ടു റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ആർ നോട്ട് പെർമനന്റ് ഓൺ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺ, ദേ ആർ ഓൾസോ എ പ്രോസസ്, കീപ്സ് ഓൺ ഗോയിങ്, എവ്രിതിങ് ഈസ് ചേഞ്ചിങ്, ഇസ്നെ. The creation process happens one time, continuously creation is going on, continuously maintenance is also going on, and continuously dissolution is also going on. That is the nature of the manifested world, manifested form. So if I point out to somebody and say to them that this creation means which one? Today what we are pointing out is changing tomorrow, isn't it? So this is what is continuously changing. But in order to point out to Krishna or Narayana, we have to take the help of this. It says here, sthityul bhava pralaya hetu ahedurasya. The cause which is causing these three things to go on, srishti, sthiti and pralayam, sthiti, ulbhavam and pralayam, the thing behind it which is actually causing these three things to continuously happen, ulbhava pralaya hetu ahedurasya, and appears as though it is not responsible for that. It's not responsible for that. On the one hand, we are thinking that it is happening, and we are affected by this, isn't it? When we see this this created world, what impression do we carry from that? We carry two kinds of impressions. Someone who comes to this world, he sees the world and he accepts this as the truth, first thing. This world as the truth. And this is called Srishti Drishtivadam. That means Srishti is there, the created world, and you are seeing this and you are accepting from that point. You are accepting it from that point. You are accepting that as the truth. Oh, this world has always been existing. That is the first thing we all think. We came here, say, 50, 60 years, 40 years, whatever. How many years we spend, it doesn't matter. As soon as you have come here, the world was existing. So what do we think first? This world exists forever and I am here. So for me, in relationship with me, this world is permanent, isn't it? This world is permanent. It's not temporary. Because I know I will be gone and the world will still stay here. But I forget to notice the one point, that the changes that's happening here, it's forgotten at that point. Srishti goes on, sthiti goes on, and pralayam also goes on. So many things are changing in the material nature, isn't it? Constantly it is changing. And we don't take into account, we take it that it is all nature, is ozone is doing there something, or somebody else is doing, Chinese are doing, they are using too many cars and so many, so therefore the whole the environment is changing. Something like that, scientists will tell us and we will accept it as the truth and then we are satisfied. The scientist also doesn't know how much is changing. Who knows how much is changing in this creation? Nobody knows, isn't it? So, but some things we, according to our own sensual power or capacity, the senses and the mind and the intelligence, we observe certain things and we make some comments about that, and then we know we don't have to worry too much because we'll be gone from here one day. So we don't worry about that. So, sthityul bhava pralaya hetu ahedurasya, that you are seeing something when you come to this world and accepting that as permanent, and based on that you conduct your experiments. Conduct your experiments. There is another way of looking at it. Where does this world exist? This world exists for us so long as we are in contact with the world, isn't it? Suppose in the vacant state, in the vacant state, Jagrat state, I can talk to you about America, Europe, India, everywhere. So many things what's going on here, there and everywhere. As soon as I go to dream state or into even to deep sleep for that matter, where is the existence of this world? Does this world exist for me at that time? As far as I am concerned, the world doesn't exist. So therefore, that is referred to as Drishti Srishti Vadam. According to your vision, you see the world at that point. According to your vision, you are seeing the world. Earlier, the world exists and we come and see the world. Here, we exist and we see the world. So there's two different ways of looking at it. As much as you realize that the world exists only in the state, on a particular state, namely, Sopnam Jagaram Sushupti. That is why, in the next line, you will see in the Bhagavadam, in the same verse, he says, Yel Sopna Jagara Sushupti Sad Bahishchaham. That Sopnam Jagarat Sushupti, three states of existence, and in all these three states, we exist. Isn't it? We exist. In the Jagrat state, my body exists for me, my body exists. My mind, senses exist. My mind exists. My intelligence exists. My false ego exists. Everything exists for me in the vacant state. As soon as I move into dream state, body doesn't exist. Body has gone. What else exists then? My senses, my mind exists. My basically my mind exists at that point. And through the mind, I interact with the world. Through the mind, I interact with another world, dream world. I create another world. At that point, I create another world. And who creates that world? I create that world. For example, say I'm now talking to so many people here. In the night, suppose I get a dream of all of you, as it is this classroom. What happens then? I create everything inside myself. In other words, I expand myself into all of your forms. Isn't it? In different forms I take, I expand into the form of the mic, I expand into the form of the book, and I expand into the form of the different shelves and tables, everything. Every form, I have to expand myself from me. It has to come from me, because I create that at that time. You don't exist in the way you exist in the Jagrat state. So, as soon as you go into the dream state, although the senses didn't exist, the material body didn't exist, still I am able to perceive and experience the same thing in the dream state. Who created that? I have created that. That is the true nature of the soul. That is the nature of the soul. So, in the Jagrat state I existed, now in the dream state also, when the dream is over, I am able to report back to you that I had a dream like this, and all these people were in the dream, and the mic was there, the books were there, everything was there in the dream. Who is reporting? Who is reporting that? I am reporting. So in other words, me, the person who was existing in the Jagrat, existed in the dream also, in the Sapnam state also, in the Sapnam state also. Then, when you go into the Sushupti state, or in the deep sleep state, that is what is mentioned here. Yel Sapna Jagara Sushuptishu Sad Bahishchaha. And in the Sushupti state, what is happening at that point? In the Sushupti state also, you are experiencing what? As soon as the Sushupti state, the sleep, you had such a deep sleep. And you had come out from that deep sleep, your first reporting to the world is that I had a good sleep. Isn't it? I had a good sleep. So who is that I reporting this? Where is that I coming from? That I which came out after you have woken up, that is a different I than this I which was reporting from the sleep. In the sleep, that I was experiencing the blissful nature of the sleep. The blissful nature of the sleep. Why? Because all the upadhis have withdrawn. Mind was not there, senses were not there, intelligence was not there. Nothing was causing a coverage for the soul, and therefore me, the I, was experiencing a limited blissful feeling of the soul, being without being upadhis. This is why it is said, when the mind, senses, intelligence all drops off from us, that is why when the soul experiences its pure form, pure Krishna consciousness, that is that state of existence. In pure Krishna consciousness we call it. Pure Krishna consciousness means unaffected by the material thoughts, material conditioning, material mind, material intelligence, material senses, all withdraw from that. And the soul in its pure form, when it is able to function, At that point, the soul is experiencing the blissful nature. But as soon as you woke up in the morning, immediately the ego came in. Ahankaram, the first thing, I exist. Me, me, me. I comes at that point. So this I and that I, which existed in deep sleep, they are two different I's. One I is the blissful I, which was experienced the happiness of the soul. And the other I, which has developed at the time of waking up in the morning, is from the false ego. So when the I from the false ego goes away, and when it develops its true identity, I as Krishna's servant, or Krishna's connected with Krishna, that I is the proper I. And that I, which was born out of the false ego in the morning after waking up, who wants to control the world and control everyone in this world, that I causes all the problems to us. So that I, which was in the sleep experiencing the bliss, which is a part and parcel of Krishna, and where does that I get its blissful nature? From Krishna. So, Narayana is being defined here like this. Stitul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna jagara susuptishu sal bahischam swapnam jagaram susupti. In three states, who comes back and reports to us, and who gets that capacity to report from whom? That is Narayana. Now you see our connection with Krishna, how close it is. Throughout the day, 24 hours, throughout life, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, throughout the life, who is in contact with us? Krishna. Krishna is in contact with us, isn't it? Who else is keeping us going? Who else is giving the directions? Who else is giving the power to function in this body? And that blissful eye of Krishna, eye which we are, which we have completely lost, and due to association with matter, has developed this false eye through false ego, that has to go, and come to that pure platform as Krishna's part and parcel, or spirit soul, and that is self-realization. So here you will see that sthitul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna jagara susuptishu sad bahischam. That if Krishna withdraws, suppose Krishna withdraws from us, what will happen? This whole thing collapses. Isn't it? The whole thing collapses at that point. There is neither swapnam, nor jagrat, nor susupti. All this is happening only because behind the screen, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is functioning. This is how Krishna is to be understood in this world. If you understand in this way, in every living entity, Krishna is acting in that way. Krishna is giving the energy to function in a particular way. Krishna is making that decision for him to do it in that way. So that way, if we see that, you will see Krishna in other living entities. Otherwise, we will keep on searching Krishna in the deity. And we will not see Krishna anywhere else. We will see Krishna is only in the temple, that too only in the deity, nowhere else. Everywhere else we kick them out. We don't care what they do. This mood will come. But to Pipalayana Maharshi, in this particular verse, is giving importance to that. Yes, stitul bhava pralaya hedura hedurasya yal swapna sat swapna jagra susuptishu sad bahischam. Then, if this connection is not there with Super Soul, with Krishna, for us, then we cannot function. We don't have the capacity to do anything in this world. Only because of His presence behind, all these things are happening. We discussed this example before, just like in a cinema screen. Take for example a cinema screen. Cinema screen, there is a projector, isn't it? And there is a reel of film in front of the projector. And then there is a lens, and then there is a screen. Four things, one after the other. When you switch on the projector, and the reel starts moving in front of the projector, through that, the light comes out, and through the lenses, it gets focused onto the screen, and the screen, you can see everything, what is happening. And what we normally do, we don't think about the screen too much, do we? We think about all what is happening on the screen, and thinks about it and feel happy or distressed according to whatever we have seen in the film. So exactly similar, the same way, very much similarly, the soul inside Krishna's part and parcel is present there, is a projector. He is projecting through the real. What are the real? Our own karma vasanas, what we have created in different lifetimes. And that is coming through all the time like a real. It comes through that and falls through the senses, which is the lens. The lens is the senses, through which it projects into the world outside, which is the screen. So we perceive the world outside in this way. According to the soul is giving the energy through the from Krishna's part and parcel, the presence of the soul inside, all the power we receive, it comes through the so-called real, which is our vasanas, and through that it comes to the lens, which is the senses, and through the senses we perceive this world. This is all life is all about. Our material human life is nothing but this, that this cinema is going on. This cinema is continuously going on. Now, Bhagavatam is saying that if you go back to the projector, close down all these senses, windows, particularly the lens. We don't need this lens to see this world. We have seen this world enough. If you keep on looking at the world, thinking that I will find my true identity by looking at this world, that will not happen. That will not happen. Bhagavatam is teaching us this important point. If your all attention is absorbed in the world outside, not caring for going inwards and looking where it is coming from, this light is coming from, the projector. If you not look there, start looking in the world where the light is coming from, you won't find it. Why? Because the light is source is inside, it's not outside. So the world has to go, the external, the lenses has to go, which is the senses. And then if you realize that all this interaction is happening because of my vasanas inside, which is the film reel, the reel of the film, if that film is also taken out, then you are back into your identity as spirit soul. You can see that Supreme Personality is part and parcel sitting inside. That's when you realize your true identity. So Pipalayana Maharshi in this verse is saying to us, behind this, Srishti, Sthiti and Samharam, or Sthiti, Ulbhavam and Pralayam, there is the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Behind this, Swapnam, Jagaram, Sushupti, behind this also, there is the Supreme Personality. From Him, everything comes. So these two tadasthalakshanam, it is called. Swapna Jagara Sushupti is one tadasthalakshanam and Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam is another tadasthalakshanam. It is used. And then in the third line, he talks about Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandiyena Deham Indriyam Asu Hridayam Charandiyena. What does it mean? It means that by presence of which the body, the mind, the senses, the pranam, everything is able to do its duty. That is called Narayana. So, Narayana, from three angles, it is spoken in this verse. Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam, one angle. Srishti, Swapnam Jagaram Sushupti, another angle. And then Deham Indriyam Asu Hridayam, another angle. And those three realizations are the three realizations of Bhagavan, Brahman and Paramatma. You see, the realization of Bhagavan is through Sthiti Ulbhavam Pralayam. Through that you realize the Bhagavan. Swapnam Jagaram Sushupti, you realize the Brahman aspect of it. And Deham Indriyam Asu Hridayam, through that you realize the Paramatma aspect of Krishna. So these three aspects of Krishna, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan, behind, they all refers to that absolute truth Narayana. The absolute truth Narayana is coming, is present in this creation. In these three ways you can know Him. That is what Bhagavatam is saying. Bhagavatam is saying, through Sthiti, Ulbhavam and Pralayam, you can come to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Through Swapnam, Jagaram, Sushupti, you can come to know about Brahman, that part and parcel of Krishna, which is the Brahman realization. Through Deham, Indriyam, Asu, Pranan, all that, how they work because of His presence only. Sanjeevidani, Tadavehi, Param Narendra. My dear King, these three are the ways through which you can know Him. Through which you can know Him. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, in 5-6 verses, Pipalayana Maharshi will give us a very detailed understanding of Krishna. If we try to understand these instructions of Pipalayana, they are very important in the Bhagavatam, because it is through these instructions from Pipalayana Maharshi, by reflecting on them again and again, you will come to know what is definition of God. Otherwise, how do we understand? We will think that God is someone who came here 5,000 years ago, he has gone back, now we have got deity there. And that's how you will see. That understanding has to go, because God is not something which comes and goes. In fact, God exists all the time and it's only He exists. Everyone else's existence is related to Him. It is because of His existence that we exist. If He is not existing, we won't be existing. Yasya vasya sarvavasam In the Upanishads there is a statement that because of His presence, all these things are present in this world. Because of His presence. So, unless we go back to that very root of our existence, the realization, self-realization won't come. Self-realization won't come. So, in order to reach that point, Pipalayana Maharshi is explaining to us in 6 verses different things. In the next verse, Naidanmano Vishadivagura Chakshura Alma Pranendriyani Yadhanala Marchishaswa Shabdo Vibhodaganishedhada Yalpamulam Tadvartama Arthoktamaha Yadhrdhe Nanisheda Siddhi. Very, very difficult verses, all this. Because the Vedic way of presenting things is not like the way we present our science. We present our science and we may ask this question, why don't we present that also in this way? Sometimes people ask that question. Why these sages have a different way of presenting? If you read this verse, you will see that. The next verse. They have a completely different way of expressing things. It's not like the normal way, how we present things. We present in such a way that that when we read it, if we understand it, we think that it's been presented well, isn't it? If we have not understood it, we blame the presenter, not us. This is always like that. Oh, he just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense to me, he says. But you don't think, this me, how qualified he is to understand that presenter. That's never thought about. And you say, somebody who has spoken, oh, he was speaking well, everything was very clear, crystal clear to me. But crystal clear is all based on intelligence. Pipalayana Maharshi wants in the beginning itself, don't try to understand Narayana by your intelligence. You won't get there. All that is required is to keep the mind away from everything, simply hear Pipalayana Maharshi's words. Pipalayana Maharshi's words, simply hear. And when will realization come? Realization will come when? When Krishna says, this person wants to know about me sincerely. And when Krishna feels that, let him have this knowledge about me. And that is when realization comes. It is called Kripa Siddhi. Kripa means purely out of Krishna's mercy. Purely, nothing else. All I have to do is to simply hear about Krishna. Simply hear about Krishna. And one day, waiting for that Kripa to come from Krishna. That is how Kripa Siddhi comes. Not by our effort. Not by our effort. In fact, this is the same process in every system. If you take chanting Hare Krishna also. If you think that I have chanted 16 rounds all my life and I will see Krishna at the time of death. And Krishna has to come there because I have chanted 16 rounds. If in that mood I chant 16 rounds, you can chant 16 lifetimes and nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. By chanting Hare Krishna millions of times, a stage will come in our mind that my effort is all useless at the end. I am not capable of knowing Krishna by my effort. And that is the point we surrender to Krishna. Sharanagati comes at that point. It is at that point in Sharanagati, Krishna's Kripa starts coming. Kripa comes to a devotee. So, does that mean that I won't do any chanting anymore? Is that what it means? No, that's not right. You have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to chant the holy name. You have to chant the holy name to so much that eventually to come to this understanding that I am helpless in this world. When one comes to that helpless situation and Krishna decides to give that mercy, which is known as Kripa, Kripa comes. And when Kripa comes, realization comes that I am not this body. Up to that point, no realization will come. This realization, what we are talking about each other, is all based on the intellectual realization. Something I've understood from book, I'm telling somebody else, look, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam like this, so that's what the truth is. But that's not realized yet. Realization, Krishna has to give. It won't come from the book, it won't come from your effort. It will only come from Krishna. So, in everything, whether it is sadhana bhakti, is only to mold us to this condition of Sharanagati, to bring us to that platform of Sharanagati, to surrender to Krishna, whereby this false ego, as I mentioned before, the false I in us, not the blissful I, the false I in us completely collapses, unable to do anything anymore, feels totally helpless, and completely takes Krishna's shelter and prays to Him. I have read Srimad Bhagavatam so many times. I have heard Srimad Bhagavatam from so many faces, but nothing has come to me. Nothing has come to me. And when the prayer is so strong and Krishna sees that person is qualified, then these verses will come to us. It will start its work at that point. Otherwise not. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Guru Shri Lata Prabhupada Ki Jai.